think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's go.
Yet another heart-pounding, high-adrenaline, high-octane, high-risk, high-maybe reward, I don't know, episode of The Roundabout, where the rock is progressing.
And the puns are excessive. I'm your dutiful weekly co-host, Peter Grant.
And I'm dutiful in that I show up every week, but that's about all. I don't know. I'm your deeply irresponsible weekly co-host, Griffith Seymour.
I don't know. By the numbers, Griff shows up approximately twice as much as I do, since, you know, we pre-record these and then he runs them when they air. So that takes, you know, that's a sure sign of discipline there.
Peter, you ruined the bit. It's a secret.
Well, do you want me to redo it?
No, we're just keeping it in now. It's your
okay.
fault. Okay. Anyways, folks.
It's your decision. You edit these.
No, I don't. We do it live, Peter. We do it live, Peter. I'm about to be
You were keeping it in.
I'm about to be the only host on this show, I swear. Anyways, Peter, on the topic of things you lack, evidently, the name of this album we're playing this week is Discipline by King Crimson. Peter, what can you tell us about this album?
Well, it was released September 22nd, 1981. It was the first King Crimson release in 7 years up to that point. There were 4 members of the band at that time, which I have to say is the kind of thing that I'm not used to. I'm not used to bands having, like, exactly 4 members. That feels like such a weird thing to me now, to have a band with 4 members. I'm used to, like, 3 or
20.
5 to 15.
Yeah. I mean, you're describing just different states of yes is the problem.
Exactly.
Because yes,
I mean, yes
has
never had fewer than 5. Not and recorded anything.
Yeah, good point. Pink Floyd had 5, and then I guess 4.
Pink Floyd hovered around 4.
Yeah. I mean, Pink Floyd lore is complicated. We don't need to get into it right now, because we're focusing on King Crimson lore. And let me tell you, there's lore here, folks.
Oh,
some lore that we literally cannot get into because of the exact topics I don't think are allowed to talk about on it.
No, probably not.
I don't know. Are we? We probably can. There's nothing like, I don't know. R-rated or whatever. Just deeply problematic.
But our greatest constraint is time, since this is a 38-minute album.
Yes.
So I will say that the members of the band at this point are Robert Fripp, who at this point is just the King Crimson guy.
Yes.
He wasn't a founding member of the band, but he's been there the longest, and his name is the one that is most closely associated with the work.
Yep.
Tony Levin, who I believe is the bassist.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Belew, who had also worked with Talking Heads before this point, and that influence is really going to show on this album.
Oh, very much.
And the drummer, our friend, Bill Bruford, who was the drummer for Yes until 1972. When he left the band to join King Crimson shortly after recording Close to the Edge. And that was when Alan White came in and learned their entire set list in 3 days. I have a lot of respect for Alan White, and as it happens, I have a lot of respect for Bill Bruford.
Close to the Edge, by the way, folks, absolute banger album. Listen to it after you listen to us talk about this album. We've played it before, and I've talked about it on end, so we don't need to go into it again.
No.
Close to the Edge owns. And this album is very similar in its cover design, but we'll get to the cover description later, because I have some interesting takes on how they can sort of take this cover to a new level. But for now, Peter, what's this first song?
This first song is called Elephant Talk, and what I have to say about it is more like elephant talking heads.
Peter, I have a question for you.
What's your question?
Are you familiar with the content-aware fill tool in Adobe Photoshop?
I think so.
The way it works, essentially, listeners, is you can have an image of some sort, for example, a house, and you can select an area and say, I want to fill this area with more house. And the computer will guess what house could go there. What I feel like happened was someone put the first few measures of the song and then let a computer write the rest of it. This feels like a deep-faked song. It's bizarre and it haunts me in my nightmares. I love it. Here's Elephant Talk by the Talking Heads from the album Discipline.
It's not. It's King Crimson.
Listen, man, it sounds the same.
Thank you.
Babble, burble, banter, bicker, 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 brouhaha, balderdash, ballyhoo, it's only talk, back talk.
Elephant Talk by King Crimson from their album Discipline. You're listening to KHDX-FM Conway, Arkansas, the voice of Hendrix. The show you're listening to is called The Roundabout, and where we're from, the rock is progressive.
Oh, and where we're from, the puns, you can believe they're excessive. Peter.
Griff.
Elephant Talk. More like elephant talking heads, am I right?
Gee, Griff, that's a really funny joke.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, the thing about this album is that while it is nominally progressive rock, it also contains a whole lot of new wave influence. And a lot of that is, as we previously stated, unless, you know, if you're just tuning in, you didn't hear that. Hi, hello. As previously stated, a lot of that new wave influence comes from Adrian Belew, who joined the band around this time.
Yep. I like Elephant Talk. It's deeply bizarre.
It's so weird.
And when I listened to it the first time, I had to pause for a second and just, like, laugh at the end of it, because it is wacky and zany, and just a little bit quirky, too.
It's one of those kinds of songs for me which very, very carefully walks a line between being really, really interesting and just leading me to the conclusion that it's terrible.
Peter, isn't that just this show?
No, I like a whole lot of the music that we play. I'm not often conflicted about it like this.
Oh, no, what I meant is that we make our viewers wonder if we're really interesting or just terrible.
Oh.
Talk about, like, the show as a product.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Similar,
and
I think it exists in this sort of quantum superposition of Genius
you
and madness.
You and your quantum superpositions.
What can I say?
You've been on a roll lately.
Big fan of quantum superpositions. I could be on a roll, but you don't know exactly where I'm rolling or how fast I'm rolling at the same time.
Well,
that's the uncertainty principle, babe.
I know, Heisenberg's uncertainty principle.
But you know what I'm certain about?
I'm certain we could roll right along into this next track.
Yep, frame by frame. By King Crimson from the album Discipline. Anything you want to say about it before we get in?
I want to say that this song roughly is about looking back on a situation and deciding in hindsight that it was bad, actually. Keep an eye out for a pretty challenging 7-4 time signature in the chorus. It's
oh yeah,
neat.
The time signatures are very quirky, and I'm a big fan of them. It feels like a song we played very early on when we were just doing, like, Yes and Rush only, basically.
Yeah, like, we did one Toto album, too.
It's very... A lot of early prog was inspired by King Crimson. They were, like, one of the progenitors. And this is, like, one of those songs where you're like, oh, yeah, this is a quintessential, like, platonic ideal prog song in some ways.
Yeah.
Weird abstract lyrics, fun time signatures.
Non-stop instrumental.
That's prog, baby. Let's listen to it.
Here's Frame by Frame by King Crimson.
We'll be right back. we're back. That was Frame by...
Frame.
From the album...
Discipline.
By King.
Crimson.
Released in 1980.
One.
And we're playing it here on the Roundup.
Bout.
Where the rock is.
Progressive. And the puns are...
Excessive. I'm...
Griff.
And my co-host is...
Peter.
And I'm gonna stop doing this...
Bit.
Right now because it's...
Annoying. No, it's not annoying. That was just the first word that came to mind. It's challenging.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
I don't believe you, Peter, but that's okay.
I'm sorry.
Peter grinning and crying. I promise the joke's funny, Griff. I promise. Just let me leave. So, on the topic of things that make me viscerally uncomfortable, when we first listened to this album, you compared this next song to Weezer. And I'm not going to elaborate on it anymore because our show is better than that, but... you want to talk about Mate Kudasai? Mate Kudasai, yeah.
Yeah, the title of this song is in Japanese. It translates to Please Wait. This song is, I would argue, pretty clearly inspired by Madame Butterfly, famously the opera by Puccini, and the play by David Belasco. It's the first kind of slower song on this album, and we got to hear Robert Fripp kind of stretch his vocal muscles, I guess, on the last song, but on this one he really gets some time to lay it out. It's almost bluesy, if not for that, you know, layered progressive rock style of production.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Griff, do you have any thoughts on it?
My notes here said, quote, oh, okay, this one sounds like a song for normal people. and folks, if you're normal people out there, we're going to listen to...
Lucky you.
We're going to listen to Mate Kudasai, and you tell us if you like it.
Here's Mate Kudasai by King Crimson from Discipline.
Thank you.
folks, that was Mate Kudasai from King Crimson, from their album Discipline. First released in 1981, reissued later on CD with some bonus features we can mention later.
Yeah.
And Peter, anything specific you want to say about this song before we get into the next song and with the last song on side one?
Wait, is there anything specific I want to say about which song?
About Mate Kudasai before we get on to talking about the next song.
I just think it's neat.
It is neat. It's a neat song, I gotta say.
I just think that's a super fun little tune, little ditty there. There used to be a guitar solo in between the first and second verse in the very original pressings of the album, but when they re-released it, that solo was removed, and that's never really been explained. But again, on those re-releases, they also include the alternate version of Mate Kudasai as a bonus track, so, you know, no net loss there.
Yep. It's the law of conservation of music. It's like conservation of mass, but for music.
Yeah. I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory.
The next song here is titled Indiscipline.
Hmm.
But Peter,
what?
The name of this album is Discipline.
How could they include this on this album?
They're really throwing us for a loop, aren't they?
What a roller coaster this is.
And on the topic of roller coasters, folks, this is going to be a song that's quite a roller coaster in and of itself. I'm not going to tell y'all what it's about until after we play the song.
Okay.
Because I want to let y'all folks at home guess.
I do want to mention quickly that this is another song where you can really hear that Talking Heads influence.
Oh, yeah.
I would directly compare this to a song from Remain in Light called Seen and Not Seen. Although this one is a bit more energetic.
Though we will have to see what y'all might not, like, see about the song.
Well, we'll see metaphorically, but not see literally, because we're listening.
And if y'all want to see more of us, you can look at your emails and email us. Our email is roundaboutkhdx@gmail.com, where you can see the website Twitter and message us on there, @roundaboutkhdx. Feel free to do either or both. We respond to all them messages.
We do.
Yep. Here's Indiscipline by King Crimson from the album Discipline.
I do remember one thing. It took hours and hours, and by the time I was done with it, I was so involved, I didn't know what to think. I carried it around with me for days and days, playing little games, like not looking at it for a whole day, and then looking at it. To see if I still liked it. I did! We'll be right back. repeat myself when under stress. I 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 repeat. The more I look at it, the more I like it. I do think it's good. The fact is, no matter how closely I study it, no matter how I take it apart, no matter how I break it down, it remains consistent. I wish you were here to see it!
We're back. That was Indiscipline by King Crimson from the album Discipline. One of two very unfortunate secret bits of slam poetry in this album. Folks, we are on the roundabout, have a staunch anti-slam poetry stance.
Speak for yourself.
Peter, you were a guest here originally. Remember that. When I say we don't do slam poetry. But, folks, I told y'all before the break to guess what this is about. Peter, you want to tell the folks what this is about?
Sure. This song is directly inspired by a letter that Adrian Belew received from his then-wife, Martha, who wrote to him about a work of art that she had just created. I believe it was a painting, though I have also heard it referred to as a sculpture. And it is just some of the words taken directly from that letter, stitched in between some original lines that Adrian Belew wrote in the moment.
Just getting a bit quirky with it, sort of doing a little experiment with the letter.
Yeah, they'd done the instrumental already, they just knew they needed words, and that was what they used.
And words were found. Mm-hmm. So, folks, it's the midpoint of the album, we finished side A, mm-hmm. We're about to go on
you're,
to side B.
For what it's worth, you're listening to KHDX-FM, Conway, Arkansas, the voice of Hendrix. The show that you're listening to is called The Roundabout. The rock is progressive.
Oh, the puns are excessive here, folks.
They certainly are. I was still pretty proud of More Like Elephant Talking Heads.
Yeah, that was a great joke that I made earlier, Peter. Folks, we're about to get on to side B, and that means it's time for y'all's favorite time of the evening. Griff and Peter, try to describe album covers to you.
This one's pretty easy.
Hey, Peter, describe the album cover.
The album cover is predominantly red. In a very small typeset, top center, you see the name King Crimson, Discipline, and smack in the middle, there is a Celtic knot. That is the album cover.
Hey, Peter, can you describe the reissue of the album?
The reissue of the album has a slightly different album cover. It is a red background, top center, and very small typeface. You can see the title, King Crimson, Discipline. And in the center, there is a different Celtic knot.
Wow, that sounds exactly the same as the first one.
No, the Celtic knot is different.
Wait, hold up. Things that look basically identical and have only slight differences and that get reissued theoretically infinite amount of times so you can just make a new one with a new knot. Is this an NFT? Oh, wait, silly me. This doesn't have horrifying environmental impacts. It can't be an NFT. My bad, Peter. Hey, folks, we here at the Roundabout, we just want to...
Our opinions here at the Roundabout are our own and not reflective of the views of KHDX or Hendrix College. We here at the Roundabout are of the opinion that NFTs are, as a whole, just bad.
Let me tell you, I might not represent the college or the radio station officially, but if they ask me about NFTs, I'd say keep away from them. Cryptocurrency is a grift inherently, and the creation of cryptocurrency mining is existentially horrifying for the environment. Also, NFTs just don't look good. I'm gonna be honest with you. I've literally never seen one that I thought looked aesthetically appealing. I know that's like more of a personal thing, but like hitting random on the Skyrim character creator and selling each one you get is not like, clever or creative. It's just lazy. Anyways,
and folks, that's not even to mention that arguments in favor of this being an artistic revolution of the NFT trend, any argument that could be made on that front is pretty clearly offset by the vast numbers of artists who have had their work stolen and sold as NFTs under their noses.
Oh, absolutely. Because the thing is, folks, NFTs aren't actually a thing. They're not real. They don't actually mean anything. And you can just make an NFT for any art, even if it's not your art.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bad. Anyways, folks.
And it's a very common source of money laundering.
Oh, I can imagine.
Not to mention artificially driving up prices.
Oh, yeah, of all sorts of things. Of the computers involved with mining the Bitcoin, et cetera, or the cryptocurrencies, et cetera.
Every moment of it is just scam after scam. Don't get involved.
It's like a pyramid scheme, but all the parts of the pyramid are their own pyramids.
Yes.
It's like, you know, Pascal's Triangle or Sierpinski's Gasket, I think it is, like the fractal pyramid. It's like that. It's like a fractal pyramid scheme where you peel one grift layer and there's like three more grifts inside of it. It's wild, honestly. NFTs might suck, but you know what doesn't suck? Discipline by King Crimson, the album that we're playing right now here on the Roundabout where the rock is progressive.
And the puns are excessive.
Peter, what's this next song called?
This next song is titled Thela Hun Jinjit.
Hey, Peter, what a normal name. Is this song
normal? What a
normal
name.
Is this a normal song?
This song is not normal.
Oh,
this
no.
song, much like, in our opinion here at the Roundabout, NFTs, is a little ethical nightmare of its own.
Yes. Just like NFTs are grift upon grift, this is a breach of privacy upon breach of privacy.
Yes. There is a recording within this song of Adrian Belew discussing an incident that happened between him and a small gang and then a couple of policemen on the streets of London, which Robert Fripp had the engineer in the studio secretly record.
Wait, it was a secret recording?
Yes, Adrian Belew did not know he was being recorded.
Wait, so before this, all they had was no audio? There was no audio before they secretly recorded the artist in the booth?
No, well, that's the thing. The thing
what?
About Thela, pardon me, Thela Hun Jinjit, is that it is an anagram for Heat in the Jungle, and it was meant to be a song about, like, violence in the streets of New York City, after Adrian Belew got frightened by the assassination of John Lennon. Or I guess I should say the murder of John Lennon.
Yeah.
And he was trying to write a song on that theme when that thing happened to him in the streets of London, and it turned out that him telling that story was more effective narratively, artistically, and musically than any of the lyrics he had actually written on the theme.
Wait, so you're telling me that step one was Adrian Belew going around just recording people in the middle of London?
Well, he was recording himself walking
okay.
around in the middle of London.
There are people nearby.
Yeah.
Presumably. Whatever. Anyways.
He got accosted by a few gang members because he was recording.
And then he told that story, and that was then recorded.
Yes.
And that was it. There was no audio before that. It was just that. So before that, the song was just no audio at all? Or no lyrics at all?
Well, no. Adrian Belew did write lyrics.
Okay.
They just didn't ever get around to recording those, because this turned out to work better.
Okay, so like early performances, like live performances, it was purely instrumental then?
You're asking me this like you know the answer. I don't know the answer to
it's
this.
The Robert Fripp recording. Of his neighbors arguing.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Folks, the original live recordings of this were just Robert Fripp reading a transcript of an argument his neighbors had that, again, he recorded without their consent, presumably, because they were too busy arguing. It's wild. This song is so much.
This song's insane, and I'm glad that it's the last one on this album with lyrics.
Let's listen to Thela Hun Jinjit. Like King Crimson from Discipline. It's so much.
Jesus.
This might be the most cracked album we've played in a while.
This might be one of the most cracked episodes we've made in a while.
Jinji, Thela Hun Jinji, Thela Hun Jinji. I couldn't even see his face. I couldn't see his face. He was holding a gun against me. I was thinking, this is a dangerous place. Well, this is a dangerous place.
Thank you.
Thela Hunjinjeet.
By King Crimson from their album Discipline, which we're playing here on the Roundabout with the Rock is Progressive.
And the puns are excessive. I'm your co-host, Peter Grant.
I'm your co-host, Griffith Samor. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Griff.
I got a question for you.
What's your question for me, Griff?
You think about how scary space is, how existentially terrifying space is.
Well, I wasn't thinking about it before, but now I am.
Everything about solar radiation? About how the sun sends out radiation constantly?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Everywhere? It's not just light, it's other stuff too. Ultraviolet, etc., etc. A lot of different particles that could just, like, actually kill us if they touched us at all.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, the rotating dynamo-esque sphere at the center of our Earth creates a magnetic field that protects us. Everything okay. About that?
I wasn't aware of that.
It's wild. It deflects them. If we... One of the reasons people think Mars is, like, so barren now and doesn't have any stuff on it is because it doesn't have a core that spins anymore, so there's no magnetic field to protect it from the sun, like, obliterating it.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh, it's wild. So one might say that we have a bit of a sheltering sky. What? The Sheltering Sky by King Crimson from Discipline? That's the name of the next song?
It is.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence. It's also named after a book. I don't know who wrote it. I took notes, but I did not write that down in my notes, so
Paul
I do not.
Bowles, or Paul Bowles.
Probably Bowles.
From the Beat Generation of writers, poets, yeah. Etc. Those guys are cool. Totally unrelated. Read Zero by Alish Cott. Great comic. that joke makes sense to like three people ever, and none of them listen to this show.
I do.
No, you don't, Peter. You record it with me.
Sometimes I listen to it.
Why?
I like it.
You were there when it happened.
I know, and it's still funny.
No, fair enough, fair enough.
It's still good.
You know what's still good also?
What?
This song by King Crimson, which came out 40 years ago.
Ooh, yeah.
And still owns.
Oh, yes. The guitar tone on this song. This is an instrumental, by the way. The guitar tone on this song sounds like an automaton.
Folks, if you don't know what an automaton is... Google it after the show. It's wild. They are evil little creatures of music, and I own one.
It's halfway between an instrument and a toy. It's shaped like a quarter note, or I guess like an eighth note with the little tail, or the flag, I should say, in musical terms. You squeeze it somewhere along the bar, and then you can squeeze its little mouth open. It's neat.
Yep, it's like, what if a quarter note, or I guess an eighth note, yeah, could sing.
Yeah, it's just a little singing eighth note.
It makes this weird high-pitched noise
mm-hmm.
sound, and that's what the guitar sounds like here. It is bizarre, and I love it.
Yes.
Here it is, Sheltering Sky.
By King Crimson, from Discipline. Thank you. Folks, that was The Sheltering Sky by King Crimson from their album Discipline, released September 1981. With that, we have only one remaining song on this album.
That's right, folks. The only song left from the album Discipline is...
Discipline.
What? The name of the last song after the album?
What?
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 What? Very cool. So, folks, we're going to listen to Discipline. I love this song.
The thing to know about this song is that it's titled Discipline because it is an exercise in discipline.
How so?
Because the structure of this song It is, as previously mentioned, another instrumental. It is made completely out of deliberately extremely challenging polyrhythms and time signature changes. And it does, in fact, sound a bit like anime music.
All I had in my notes was just, oh, I love anime music. And I think that's wonderful. That even now, anime music still lives with us.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Anime Music 3 will be released one day.
I believe it will.
Even though we have not gotten news on it in almost 10 years now.
It would be so nice.
I want it to happen.
I want it so bad.
If our show has any effect...
If we've got any clout out there...
Anyway, please.
We'd love to have Anime Music 3. In the meantime, here's Discipline by King Crimson from the album Discipline. We'll be right back.
folks, sometimes in music we like to see ourselves represented. Sometimes we like to see something we aspire to be. And sometimes we like to see the polar opposite of ourselves. Therefore, this week, we play Discipline by King Crimson. The last song of which was also called Discipline.
Yes.
Something that I know I lack, and I'm not here to pass judgments, but Peter's still here with me, so that says something about you too now, doesn't it?
It might. Who's to say?
You know what I'm to say?
What?
But the listeners out there listening to The Roundabout, where the rock is progressive.
And the puns are excessive.
And Peter, I think you're here to say what exact radio station they're listening to.
You're listening to KHDX-FM Conway, Arkansas, which happens to be the voice of Hendrix.
Oh, the voice of Hendrix? No way. Indeed. Now, Peter, maybe I'm overstepping my bounds a bit here, but let's just say any of our enterprising listeners wanted to get in contact with us, recommend an album, say what a fan they are. Correct us on something. I don't know.
Any of the above.
I've never said anything wrong in my life.
Neither have I. So I don't know why you would ever correct us.
But I mean, it's, you know, hey, first time for everything, yeah. I suppose. You can find us.
By our silence.
Exactly. For $3,000 a month, I will stop. I will stop doing this show. I will stop having music opinions.
You can send us an email at roundaboutkhdx@gmail.com.
And if you want to be a bit more direct and, you know, save yourself on character count, tweet at us, at roundaboutkhdx on twitter.com. That's mm-hmm. where we're at. Any closing thoughts on Discipline?
This is the second King Crimson album I have ever listened to.
What'd you think of it?
It was not what I expected.
Oh?
I do not associate King Crimson with this kind of new wave sound. When I think King Crimson, I think, oh, well, that's the progressive rock band, isn't it? Up there with Yes in that echelon, oh, you know? But I did not think they had this kind of, like, really different sound in them. And honestly, I'm still trying to decide how much I really like it.
Fair enough.
One of the things that I said about Elephant Talk was that it sounded to me like Talking Heads, but without the years of development as artists.
Ah, yeah, I can see that.
This album felt a little undercooked to me in some respects, but I will say, that moment in the sheltering sky where the synthesizers come in is one of my new favorite moments in all of progressive rock.
Oh, fair enough. It owns. It's really good.
I adored that, and I am amazed that it is on the same album as Thela Hunjinjeet.
You know, the highest highs and the lowest lows. It's like a cycle, a big old circle. A roundabout, one might say.
You might.
You know, Peter, on the topic of roundabouts, I just realized the cover of this album looks very much like some of the worst traffic intersections I've ever seen, and I think that's very funny. Totally unrelated. I should have brought it up earlier.
That's all right. As long as we got it in there.
Exactly. There's probably a joke to be made here about, like, the over-roadification of urban centers and how unhealthy that is for the environment, and also how NFTs are bad for the environment, but I don't know how to make it work. So I'm just...
I don't either, and we need to end this episode.
Yeah. Folks, it's been a blast listening through this album with y'all.
It has.
We're gonna let the dulcet tones of...
Ah!
I'm so sorry. Folks, I gestured to Peter, and I actually got Peter right in the throat with my hand. That was totally accidental.
The outro you're about to hear is La Danse du Gobelet en Papier, pardon my French, by Mason Lindroth and Chuck Salamone.
And folks, when you tune in next week, you're gonna hear our intro, as always, called Tank! It's composed by Yoko Kanno and performed by The Seatbelts. We'll see you then, and we hope y'all have a wonderful week.
Have a good one.
I'm so sorry for jabbing you in the throat.
It's
just
okay.
Now.
Okay.
I feel bad about it.
It's all right. I've recovered.
No! Ah! No, you won't!